And I know this will be a blessing to your heart. So we're going to look at the first 8 verses together of Psalm 5. The Bible says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning while I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight, thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing, the Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies, make thy way straight before my face." That is our title. Make thy way straight. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray for your wisdom, your power, your intercession in this service, that Lord, you'll use the word in every one of our lives. Lord, I don't know the needs, but you do. You know those that are hurting. You know those that are backslidden. And Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit will now take the powerful and precious word and apply it to every heart as needed. And we will leave changed. And Lord, as we focus on this ever so important topic of prayer, may it truly move us. And Lord, motivate us to have a more powerful prayer life, a better time with you every day. So we commit it to you. May you meet with us now and be glorified in it. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So our goal is verse 8, make thy way straight. But as we get there, David has revealed to us some of the very important things that need to be involved in our prayer lives if they're going to be effective. And it starts there in verse 1 with our meditation. What we meditate on impacts our thought life. It impacts who we are in the long run. And we all know that we are commanded to meditate in God's Word. You often hear people say, well, if you're going to pray, you've got to pray in the will of God. How do we know what the will of God is? And I believe that one of the best ways for God to lead us and to show us His will is through His Word. And so we need to be in the Word. And we need to be not only reading it and studying it, but we need to be meditating in it. That is something that God has told us all through the Scriptures, is that we need to learn to meditate in the Word of God. So just a couple of Scriptures on this. Joshua 1:8. If you want a verse in Joshua to memorize, this would be the one, just in case you were wondering. Those of you that are writing down memory verses all the time, this is probably the most beautiful verse in all of Joshua, except maybe 24:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But notice Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate." There it is. "Therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." So notice God is equating prosperity and success from a spiritual point of view with our meditation and our obedience to His Word. David said, "Lord, give ear to my words, but consider my meditation." Consider what I'm meditating in. What are we meditating in? Is it things? Is it worldly things? Or is it the Word of God? Because yes, we have to go out into the world and work our jobs, but we can still be meditating in the Word of God. And Jesus in the New Testament said in John 15, He said, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you." In other words, I want my words to abide in you. What does that mean? I think it goes beyond memorization, which of course we need to be doing, hiding it in our heart. But I think it speaks of what we're meditating on. And so I believe that David is revealing to us, first of all, if we want our prayer lives to be effective, if we want our fellowship with our Creator, our Heavenly Father to be effective, we, like David, need to be honest and come and say, "Lord, consider my meditation. Consider the fact that I'm doing my best to meditate in your word. Meditate in the things you've told me to meditate in, rather than the things the devil wants me to meditate in. And I believe that that's where it all begins, having an effective prayer life. So that's verse 1. But then in verse 2 of our passage, Psalm 5, he says, "Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God." Again, you can tell that the whole thing is about prayer, but he says, "My King." Now we know that if someone's your king, then you are his subject. And kings, unlike modern day democratic rulers, had absolute rule. They could order your death like that. There would be no question. Complete control. Absolute authority. And David is acknowledging that God, who he's crying unto, is his king. Implying that we are his servants. And when we approach God, I believe we must come with this attitude of complete humility and servanthood. You know, you hear people, some of these TV preachers talking about going around telling God what to do, commanding God. I don't find that in the scriptures. God is holy, God is powerful, and we are just weak and wicked sinners that deserve to go to hell. We have no place to be telling God what to do. We need to come to God with an attitude of humility. And when you look at the prayers of the Old Testament saints, all of them came with this attitude of complete humility. And I believe God wants the same. If you go to Psalm 51:17, David made this very clear in his penitential psalm that he wrote after his sin with Bathsheba. Many of the psalms are what we call penitential psalms. I believe 5 of them are, but this one is probably the most beautiful. And he wrote it right after he had been caught out by Nathan with his sin with Bathsheba and lost his child as chastisement for his sin. And at the very end, he says, verse 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Contrite. Our attitude needs to be one of complete humility, contriteness, when we enter the presence of Almighty God and come before His throne in heaven, acknowledging how holy and powerful and righteous He is and how unworthy we are. And all of our worthiness is only of what He's given us, not anything that we've earned. So this attitude of humility, but also being honest and saying, "Lord, consider my meditation. I'm meditating in your word the best I can. I'm trying to spend more time in it. I'm trying to meditate on the truths of your word throughout the day and let them guide me. Let them protect me, as the Bible says they will. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word." So, and of course the Bible says, "Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him." 1 John 3:22. Why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. In other words, obedience to our King. So the first thing that we see is we need to come with this attitude of, "I've been meditating in the word." Secondly, this complete attitude of humility. But notice, just the reminder that this is all about prayer. In verse 2, he says, "For unto thee will I pray." Now that word pray, if you wanted to get the lowest definition, it means to ask. But we're doing more than asking when we come into our time with God, aren't we? We're spending time with God. And if you want to go back to the original creation of man, why did God create man? It wasn't to be a witness, because there was no one to witness to, and everyone was righteous. So what was it for? Well, when you study it out, what happened every day? But God came down and fellowshiped with Adam. Think about that. The creator of the universe fellowshiped with one of his creations. Hence why he made us in his image. And that is restored through salvation in Jesus Christ. The privilege of fellowshipping with our Creator. And David says there in verse 3, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning." In other words, "Lord, I'm going to start my day every day with you. We have to do this. This isn't something that we need to think that as a possibility. This is something we have to do in our Christian lives. We've got to start our days with God. He says, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. And he's talking here about private prayer. We can see he's not talking about us praying as a group, which we do on Wednesday nights. Very important thing as well, that we come together and we take prayer requests and we pray for the body of Christ, for one another. One of the most important services of the week. That's not what he's talking about, though. He's talking about private prayer. Like Jesus, when he said in Matthew 6, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, once you're alone, just you and God, then pray. But all through the Scriptures, we're told how often to pray, are we not? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, three words. Pray without ceasing. Luke 18:1, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. How often? Always. Romans 12:12 says, continuing instant in prayer. Talking to God throughout the day. Philippians 4, most of us know verses 6 and 7, be careful or be anxious for nothing, but at everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Everything. So David acknowledged that he needed this, and we need this. We need prayer. We need to come to God. We need to start our day with God and spend our day with God. And part of that is our meditation in the Word of God. And part of that is the attitude with which you come before God. This attitude of complete humility. He's the king. We're the slave. So the third thing that we see as far as our attitude is, notice verses 4, 5, and 6, he talks about how God, in his righteousness, hates evil. Thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all the workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. We see God's hatred for sin. It's God's hatred for sin that was also part of Calvary. It was also our love for us, but it was his hatred for sin. And praise God, that's been dealt with at Calvary. But now as God's children, our fellowship, not our relationship, that's sealed in Christ, but our fellowship can be hindered by sin. And so when we come before God, and again, if you go back to Psalm 51, David came not only with this attitude of humility, but an attitude of confession. Lord, I was wrong. Lord, forgive me. And we must come with confession. We can't come to God with sin in our life that's not been confessed. If we do, we're wasting our times. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The Lord will not. Not that he cannot. The Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. In Proverbs 28:13. So we must come to God with this attitude of honesty and confession. Notice Psalm 145:18, if you would. And so as David is walking us through, we not only need to say, consider my meditation, Lord. I'm meditating in your word as I come to you. Not only coming with this attitude of complete humility as God's slave. He's the king. We're the subject. But also now coming with as best as we can, and we are not flawless, but as best as we can, no unconfessed sin. Now, does that mean we are sinless? Of course not. Because we are sinners. But it means that there, as the Holy Spirit has pointed out sin, we've confessed it. We've dealt with it. We don't try to hide it from God because that's just silly. So Psalm 145:18, the Lord is nigh to all that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. In truth. In other words, when we come before God, yes, we need to be meditating in the Word. Yes, we need to come with this attitude of humility, but we need to also come with this attitude of honesty about our sin. Why not? God knows anyway. The Bible says He knows our secret sins. He knows every sin. So why try to hide it from Him? Instead, we need to come and confess it to Him. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we need to come with this attitude of meditating in the Word, of a complete humility, but this attitude of honesty. Honesty. Lord, as far as I know, I've confessed every sin. And you know what? If that's your attitude, then God will work with you. And when there are more, He'll reveal them. That's one of the missions of the Holy Spirit who indwells us, is to convict us. You read about it in John 16, why He came. And He will convince us of righteousness. He will say, you need to deal with this. You need to deal with this. And as we meditate in the Word, He does it even more. He says, you need to deal with this. And what do? We deal with it. And maintain that honesty with our Creator, with our Savior. So meditation in the Word, humility, and honesty. And then we see in verse 7, as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. You might say, well, what in the world is the connection between going into the house of the Lord and my prayer life? Well, that's not complicated, because God is the one that set it up the way He did and told us to assemble, like we're doing right now, so that we might allow the Holy Spirit to use His taught and preached Word to work in our lives. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so what we're saying is, Lord, I am willing to expose myself to Your Word, which I realize sometimes might convict me, might force me to change. It might even be painful at times. I'm willing to expose myself to the Word because I know this is what You want. I know it's good for me. And this is David's attitude all through the Psalms, is his desire to be in God's house whenever he could. He says in Psalm 27:4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He said, that's what I seek after. And then if you go to Psalm 92, beautiful verse about flourishing. Psalm 92, verse 13. The Bible says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. You know why so many Christians don't flourish? Because they won't plant themselves in the house of the Lord. They just play at it. But Christians that commit themselves and plant themselves, they're going to flourish. And David understood the connection between exposing himself to the taught and preached Word of God and his prayer life. And it's real. And of course, we get to the New Testament and God says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together in Hebrews chapter 12. Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together. So we need to come with you with a meditation in His Word, with humility, with honesty, and we need to do our best to expose ourselves to His Word, that He might continue to work through us that way, so that when we do come to our prayer life in the morning, each day, we can deal with whatever God spoke to us about in His house. And then the last verse, verse 8, he says, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies, make thy way straight before my face. I don't do this very often, but I'd like to just share a personal testimony from this verse. 29 years ago this year, God used this verse to speak to me about coming to New Zealand. As I was reading through Psalms, this verse leapt off the page for me. And I just prayed it. I said, Lord, if this is what you want, you need to make it straight before my face, because I am stubborn and I don't want to be a missionary. I'd rather you know, well, first of all, stay in engineering, but second of all, now that you've already called me out of that, I'd rather stay in the States. But I just said, Lord, make thy way straight for my face, and he did. That's kind of obvious. But we need to be begging God for his direction. You know, the Bible says, don't be unwise in Ephesians 5, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Why not ask? I mean, don't you think God wants to answer? If any of you lack wisdom, James 1:5, let him ask of God and it shall be given him. Ask. So ask. Lord, I need your direction. I need help with this decision. I need you to show me what you want me to do. And God will. As we follow these other steps, as we meditate in his word, as we expose ourselves to his word by being faithful to his house, as we come with honesty and humility, you know what God's going to do? He's going to make his way straight before our face. He will. If God commands us to understand his will, would he then turn around and make it impossible to understand his will? That doesn't even make any sense, does it? But again, in Ephesians 5, understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? Ask. That's what David did. He said, Lord, make thy way straight before my face. Show me. Go to Psalm 143. We'll see again this attitude of David's that, Lord, I need you to show me. Psalm 143 and verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness when? In the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. Lord, I'm going to come to you in the morning. I need you to show me the way. Should this be part of our prayer lives every day? Absolutely. Not just about the big decisions, but about the whole day. Lord, I need your guidance today. That's part of walking in the Spirit, is letting God direct our lives, letting God show us his will for every decision. So as we commit those decisions unto him and as we seek direction, I believe God will give it. As we come to him with this attitude of meditating in his word, of complete humility, of honesty, God will reveal his direction. And it's never wrong to ask. That's what the word pray means. So maybe part of our prayer life every morning needs to be, Lord, today and this week and this month and this year, make thy way straight before my face. Show me. And I believe God will. He promised that he would. It's just a lot of times we're afraid to ask that question. Because he may say, well, I want you to do this, when it's something that we don't want to do. And then it becomes, well, whose will is more important? My will or God's will? And by the way, God doesn't intentionally try to be cruel to us and say, and if you ask me and I show you, I'm going to make sure that it's the most painful direction I could ever send you in. That's not how God works. As he gives you his will, he's also going to give you the desire to accomplish that will, and you will be happier there than in any other place, because that's how God works. But if you don't ask, well, you can't get an answer, can you? So David came to God, and many times in the Psalms, but this particular one, he said, Lord, please make thy way straight before my face. Show me the way that I should walk. And Lord, I will come to you every morning, as he says here. I'm going to come to you with humility, with this absence of any lies or feigning anything. I'm going to come to you with complete honesty about my sin. I'm going to do my best to meditate in your word so that I can say, consider my meditations. And then I'll let you direct me. How beautiful is that? Make thy way straight before my face. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for this.